Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Tyson Fury, the self-proclaimed Gypsy King and world heavyweight boxing champion. Nnamdi, he sounds like a tortured Gypsy King. Fill our VOA boxing fans in on what's been going on with Fury.
Sonny, he is in a very bad place right now. We may wake up tomorrow morning only to find out he's gone. He's talking about wanting to kill himself, suicidal thoughts. He has not trained in months, man. And he just confirmed he's been on heavy cocaine use for the past 4 months. He's dealing with depression. Gypsy King may not be around for long.
Also facing disciplinary action, Nnamdi, is there a possibility he'll be stripped of his title belts?
Expect him to be stripped of his two belts, which is the WBA, World Boxing Association, and the WBO, World Boxing Organization titles. That will take place no later than next week or before the middle of the month. He cannot sit on those belts. He cannot hold the two belts hostage. He must surrender the belts.
Do you think it was just too much too soon for Fury to handle all the acclaim that comes with being world heavyweight boxing champion?
Well, Sonny, I live here in Hollywood, and I see this a lot, you know. A guy goes from being a dishwasher or an actor or something, or a boxer who's used to making a little money, suddenly he pulls a big upset and lots of money comes in. And what happens? The con man, the shakedown artist, the cocaine dealer, as everybody come around. It's all about willpower. All this talk about depression and all that stuff, it's about the people around you, the team around you. Nobody will force anything down your throat or down your nose. How can a man who's made millions be depressed? That's a good question, Sonny.
What about his gypsy background, Nnamdi? Does that play into all the turmoil in his life?
No, Sonny. I mean, the media is trying to make it out like it's the gypsy background plays a role in what's going on today. No, it has come down to willpower, Sonny. I mean, the gypsy people are great people. They're honorable people, strong culture. We can take one bad apple and just paint the whole gypsy culture as bad and drunkards and cokeheads, you know. This guy has serious problems that need to be dealt with immediately, which means going into therapy or going to rehab.
Tyson Fury was scheduled to have a rematch with Vladimir Klitschko at the end of October, Nnamdi. That rematch now off. What's next for Vladimir Klitschko?
Interestingly, Sonny, Vladimir Klitschko believes he can beat homeboy Anthony Joshua. They are talking about a December fight or November 28th fight. Interesting. You hear me laughing, Sonny.
So you don't give Klitschko much of a chance.
Sonny, Klitschko has been out of the ring for 11 months. He has not fought. Now you're going to take on a young lion? You will be knocked out cold.
Joshua Klitschko, where would that take place, Nnamdi?
Sonny, don't get me wrong now. It's a big money fight, you know. This fight belongs to Wembley Arena because Klitschko has a big German TV behind it. Anthony Joshua has Showtime money, so we're talking about huge money. This fight will sell out Wembley Arena. But is it the right fight for Klitschko, or is it the right fight for Anthony Joshua?
What do you think?
For Klitschko, it's a very bad move. If I'm Klitschko's manager, I will be on the run with my fighter. I will go and fight for the vacant WBA title. Take that fight to Germany. Win the title back. Then talk about one or two more defense before I fight Anthony Joshua. He does not need Anthony Joshua right now. A win by Anthony Joshua over Klitschko, that's the end of Klitschko. He looks at Joshua, oh, he has few fights. Who has he fought? I can beat him. But Joshua can jump right on him and knock him out. That's possible.
And at this point, Namdi, does Klitschko even need to fight anymore? I mean, he was heavyweight champion for so long.
He needs to take a seat and retire. His style is boring. He held on to this belt for too long. Did nothing for the division. Did nothing for boxing. Some people may disagree with me. He should go and count his money and just retire. If he gets marked by Anthony Joshua, that will put a dent on his legacy. He needs to go away. They are very close to breaking the bread, Sonny, on this fight, and it's scary. It looks like it's going to happen. And I think the big loser here will be Klitschko. On the other hand, Klitschko can go there and beat up on homeboy Anthony Joshua and expose Joshua. That can happen too. That's boxing. That can happen. But for me, the way I look at it, you have not been in the ring for 11 months and your style is that boring style. You go against a young African tiger or a lion, he will just eat you up.
Namdi, one of the big power brokers in prize fighting, Al Haymon. We don't see a lot of him. He's more of a behind-the-scenes type of guy. But he's been making some headlines lately, and it hasn't been because of any financial windfall with his Premier Boxing.
VOA!
Tell our VOA boxing fans about that.
Well, Sonny, he came on the scene. I'm talking about Al Haymon and Premier Boxing Championship. A venture capitalist from Kansas City, a group of venture capitalists, put up $500 million, Sonny. $500 million. And then they signed up all the champions, locked up all the champions who were doing fights every week. And suddenly we were getting fights for free. The fights that used to be on pay-per-view, we get it for free. But the fighters were being paid lots and lots of money, Sonny. A guy goes into a fight that normally he will get $150,000. He ends up with $1.5 million. Come on, Sonny. I mean, guys were making big, big money. And, you know, for the fighter, man, you know, they were really doing well and, you know, going to all these places. But what happened to the $500 million, Sonny? Suddenly the money is almost gone.
With the money gone, Namdi, what happens to Haymon's stable of fighters?
Well, a couple of things could happen. They may end up sitting around, which they're doing right now, because they're used to fighting three or four fights a year for $1.something million. These are like sparring sessions where meaningless fights. The fight fans are wondering, why did you put this fight on TV? Why did you take this fight to a casino? And you turn around and say, oh, this guy made $1 million. Now, they have to wait for the venture capitalist to come back again and put another $500 million, which with the money the way it is now, that may not even happen. So the fighters may just decide to walk away and go to other promoters. But will they make the kind of money they made with Al Haymon? No way.
Namdi, looking ahead to November, two big-name fighters, Manny Pacquiao and Andre Ward, both in action. Pacquiao will take on Jesse Vargas November 5th. And then 2 weeks later, on November 19th, Andre Ward against the unbeaten Russian Sergey Kovalev. Let's begin with Ward-Kovalev, Namdi. How do you see that fight?
Well, these two guys, Andre Ward and Sergey Kovalev, they're both undefeated. Andre Ward moving up to the 175-pound, which is a light heavyweight fight. Sergey Kovalev is a punching machine from Russia. He's undefeated, and he can fight, you know. Andre Ward's style is more like a boxer style, touch and go. He won't knock you out, but he'll box your ears off. But will fight fans buy that fight because the fight is on pay-per-view right after Manny Pacquiao fight? We don't know. It may end up being a boring fight where the punching machine from Russia but trying to catch up with the American sprint star running around the ring. and Andre Ward will just end up winning an easy 12-round decision.
Namdi, it seems like Kovalev has been doing a lot of scouting of Ward. He's been showing up at most of his fights. Will that be an advantage for him?
Well, he's doing all that to promote the fight, to talk up the fight, because a fight fan is not really breaking the door to pay $60, $70 pay-per-view. So he had to make all this appearance to psych the fight up and push up the fight. Andre Ward will do his thing, and Andre Ward will win an easy, unanimous decision.
Manny Pacquiao will go up against Jesse Vargas, also in Las Vegas, on November 5th. What about that fight, Namdi?
Interesting fight. The good question is, why is Manny Pacquiao fighting a Jesse Vargas? You know, does he really need the money? Why can't he just sit out and wait for Floyd Mayweather? That's a fight we all want to see. Well, he wants to stay busy. He wants a tune-up. This may end up being a tune-out like we've seen in the past. He has no business fighting a Jesse Vargas who can fight, who may expose him. Manny Pacquiao should just stay in the Senate in the Philippines and wait for Floyd Mayweather, which can happen in 2017 because Floyd Mayweather has gone back to the gym training right now. That goes to tell you that if the fight is ready to happen, it will happen in 2017. Why go risk fighting a young fighter right now and get beat up or slapped around the ring and expose you and then put a dent on the fight, the big mega fight with Floyd Mayweather?
So you still think we could see a Pacquiao-Mayweather rematch?
If we don't see an upset November 5th, if it's not exposed, if it looks good the way he looked with Bradley, yeah. Money is back in the gym, and money knows about cash flow and crazy paper. Money is the ATM, man.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Galala. Great show, bro.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Earlier this week in Colombia, FIFA President Gianni Infantino outlined a plan to expand the World Cup from 32 teams to 48. Under Infantino's plan, 16 of those teams would go home after just one knockout match, and the remainder of the tournament would be played, as now, with a 32-team group stage, followed by a knockout phase. Victor Montaglani is a FIFA vice president and the president of CONCACAF, the governing body for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Montaglani is one of the sports officials who attended a sports business conference at Chelsea Stamford Bridge ground in London. Speaking at the conference, Montaglani says he thinks the 2026 World Cup will feature more teams.
Well, I think it's obvious it's not going to stay at 32 for 2026. I think it's going to obviously change. And I think the message from the president is not so much, you know, what the number is right now. You know, I think, you know, he's had some ideas of 40, 48. But the reality is, I think we need to look from a growth perspective, having more teams in there.
Looking at the World Cup calendar, Russia will host football's premier event in 2018 and Qatar in 2022. A final decision on the 2026 World Cup host country is not scheduled until 2020. Victor Montaglani has already confirmed plans for a bid from Canada, his native country. A CONCACAF country last hosted a World Cup in 1994 here in the United States. And Montaglani says it's time to bring the tournament back to the region in 2026.
I think it's time that it does come back to CONCACAF. We haven't had it since 1994. It's obviously a region that's very rich in terms of not only from a footballing standpoint, but from a market standpoint. I think we have three countries that have the ability to put on the World Cup on their own. In terms of perhaps a more regional bid, there's an opportunity there too. But we'll see what the rules and regulations are probably early next year when FIFA comes out with them in terms of what's acceptable and what's not. But I think the time is now for it to come back to our region in 2026.
And while the awarding of World Cups to Russia and Qatar prove controversial, Montaglani suggests it's provided an opportunity to clean up the sport.
I think, you know, Russia and Qatar, they're going to happen unless somebody else tells me otherwise. But, you know, I look at it a different way, and I think I ask you this question. If Russia and Qatar wouldn't have gotten the World Cups, would we be in a situation where we are now with an opportunity to clean the game? Because I think that was a starting point and a tipping point for certain things to happen. And if that wouldn't have happened, if England and the U.S. would have got the World Cup, maybe we would have had status quo, and I probably wouldn't be sitting here. So in some regards, maybe the best thing that happened to football was Russia and Qatar.
That's Victor Montaglani, a FIFA vice president and the president of CONCACAF, the governing body for football teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean, and he was speaking in London. During Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports, reporter Moki Edwin Kinzika in Yaoundé told us how retired Cameroonian football star Rigobert Song was rushed to France for specialized treatment after suffering a brain hemorrhage. Cameroon's public health minister, André Mama Fouda, told reporters the 40-year-old Song's life is no longer in danger, but in his words, he is not out of the woods yet. The health minister says Song is receiving treatment at a hospital in Paris after coming out of a two-day coma. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the longtime humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, who lives in Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria, wrote on my Facebook page, "May God heal Rigobert Song. He did well for Cameroon, often playing crucial leadership roles during his active days on national duty." Magnus says he recalls memorable Africa Cup of Nations matches between Nigeria and Cameroon when Song, in Magnus's words, would often exude braveness. The humble apostle writes, "His show of masculinity on the field of play alongside teammates like Samuel Eto'o would often make fans like us on the side of Nigeria's Super Eagles jittery." And as I said to my loyal, humble apostle, "I always felt like the indomitable Lions of Cameroon roared just a little bit louder when Rigobert Song was on the pitch, an inspirational player for sure." I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Well, we've been talking all week about this incident that happened in Toronto with the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles, the two baseball teams playing in that wild card game, and a fan threw a beer from the stands and almost hit a player. Well, we mentioned on yesterday's show, I said I anticipate the authorities to release some photos from social media. Well, sure enough, they have. The Toronto police have tweeted out a picture of who they believe this beer thrower is, and they're trying to use social media to identify him. So they are using social media and that crowdsourcing to try to do that. We're also seeing a lot of continued apologies being expressed on social media, including a campaign where a number of Canadians and people from Toronto are writing into newspapers or tweeting at newspapers, especially in Baltimore, and apologizing for this incident, saying it did not represent the country or the team or its fans. So we're seeing a lot of that continuing on, and we'll see if anything develops from this photo being released, if they do find this gentleman. One thing's for certain, that if they do find him and you are able to identify him, you may be in for a reward from a Baltimore restaurant. And they tweeted out that they will give you a $1,000 reward if you can identify this man. Here's the best part. 24 crab cakes. Of course, Baltimore is known for its crabs and crab cakes. So that is quite a nice reward if you can identify this man. This restaurant will pay out. So hopefully social media will come together and they'll get this guy apprehended.
Andrew, this VOA programming note, my special guest on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports is Jessie Graff, a stunt woman, actress, martial artist, and a lot more. Jessie Graff, my special guest on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we go from this beer-throwing incident in baseball to a different kind of throwing incident in an NBA preseason game. You had Jamal Crawford of the LA Clippers losing his shoe, and Blake Griffin picks up the shoe. He's trying to catch the ball as it's being passed to him, and he has the shoe in his hand. So he ends up throwing the shoe at Corey Joseph of the Toronto Raptors. I don't think this was retribution for the Toronto fan throwing the beer, but it was a little viral video that came out of Blake Griffin throwing this shoe. People speculating, what kind of foul do you get for that if you, you know, accidentally throw this shoe at somebody, or was it an accident? A lot of speculation on that, and saying maybe this is a new strategy. You know, if you can't block a player, you can try to hit him with a shoe. So kind of bizarre incident, but one that a lot of people are talking about, even though it's preseason for basketball. Still a weird moment that people are reflecting on social media.
This social media segment kind of has a sort of a throwing missile object type feel to it, Andrew.
It does. It's, you know, it's funny when these things align, they align sometimes like this, and then we have the topic. And on that note, throwing some good-natured insults and taunts back and forth on social media were the mayors of New York City and San Francisco. Of course, my beloved New York Mets played the San Francisco Giants last night and unfortunately lost 3-0 in the wild card game. So the Mets are out of the playoffs, sadly. But prior to that game last night, Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York and Mayor Ed Lee of San Francisco having a little bit of fun back and forth on Twitter. Mayor de Blasio saying that he was going to, if the Mets lost, send some bagels to Mayor Ed Lee. And they kind of do this sometimes, mayors of different cities, when teams are in the playoffs, they'll make these kind of bets and say, well, if our team wins, you have to send us this, but if our team loses, we'll send you something. So Mayor de Blasio said, of course, New York famous for bagels, said he would send some famous New York bagels to Mayor Ed Lee. Ed Lee said he would send some famous San Francisco coffee. And then they started going really, really deep into the taunts. I think it was Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, who photoshopped a picture of Mayor Ed Lee of San Francisco wearing a New York Mets uniform, photoshopped his face onto the baseball card, and Mayor Ed Lee responded, photoshopping Bill de Blasio's face onto a San Francisco Giants player on the baseball card. So some good-natured taunts. No word yet on if they've paid out on the bagels or when that is going to happen, but it just goes to show even the elected officials can be fans and can really enjoy these things and have some good-natured fun with it.
Andrew, earlier we were talking about the wild card format during the Major League Baseball playoffs, but just from a fan perspective, it seems like both wild card games really have lived up to the excitement and the drama, and you know, a lot to be said for both games.
Absolutely. I think the only negative that's come out of the wild card, especially for me as a Met fan, I say this, is that it was only one game and it couldn't be a series of three games because people said how thrilling, you know, that first game between the Orioles and the Blue Jays going to the 11th inning in extra innings to decide that, and a walk-off home run last night. A pitcher's duel. The Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard held the Giants 5 2/3 innings without a hit, which is pretty astounding. So really, you know, two different games in the way they were played, but two really great games to watch. So a great kickoff to the Major League Baseball postseason, and hopefully we'll continue to see more great games, even though the Mets won't be in it. I'll still be watching and cheering, but you know, a little less loud than I would be if the Mets were in.
Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the October 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Partnership makes all things possible. The people of Burundi have greater access to life-saving medicines with the assistance of the United States. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, recently announced the successful completion of 2 5-year projects aimed at enhancing the supply of essential medicines for malaria and HIV/AIDS in Burundi. During the project closeout event, which took place in Bujumbura, USAID Country Representative Victoria Gellis praised the efforts of all partners in strengthening the health system and reiterated the commitment of the United States government to support Burundi to meet the health needs of the people. Through the two projects, Systems for Improved Access to Pharmaceuticals and Services, or SIAPS, and Supply Chain Management System, or SCMS, the United States government collaborated with the government of Burundi, Management Sciences for Health, and other partners to produce and distribute essential medicines and supplies for HIV/AIDS and malaria, including 9 million ACT drugs for malaria, 7 million rapid diagnostic test kits for malaria and HIV, and diagnostic supplies for laboratories. Implemented by Management Sciences for Health, the SIAPS and SCMS project supported the development and rollout of a logistics management system that provides timely information about the inventory and consumption of commodities at districts and health facilities. The projects also supported the upgrade of the National Pharmaceutical Warehouse to prevent the unnecessary expiration of essential drugs and commodities by improving the storage and management practices of the warehouse. The U.S. government, through USAID, provided more than $18 million U.S. dollars over 5 years for the procurement and distribution of health commodities in Burundi through the SCMS and SIAPS projects. The United States government provides more than $40 million U.S. dollars annually to support HIV/AIDS, malaria, nutrition, and family planning programs in Burundi. The United States is proud to work with its partner, Burundi, to help meet the health needs of the Burundian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
VOA. Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates, and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.